Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at tricountycontractingwi.com.
Okay. Seriously.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Petrano.
A12 on Wisconsin's Morning News. I'm going to lead with this. By lead with, that's, you know, our little jargon about whatever. This first story out of the gate here in our 8 o'clock hour. It's a strange one out of Racine. There's a twinge of scandal to it because somebody's not telling the truth.
We have a follow-up after Racine police received some backlash by releasing a potentially rabid woodchuck.
See, now you chuckled.
I did.
Our friend Susan Kim there on TMJ4 News, and before you chuckle, this is, I mean, it is, in fairness, kind of a bizarre tale. And how important can this be? Why are we talking about woodchuck at 8:12?
Correct.
You didn't even want me to do this story this morning. Eric and I, when we get here, we talk about, okay, I've got this. You know, this was interesting to me. We go, okay, who's doing what? And you're like,
to be fair, it was also early after a devastating evening. So,
and we were all in a bad mood.
Woodchucks weren't on my mind at the moment.
Oh, were we in a bad mood this morning? I feel better now, don't you? A little bit?
Of course.
Okay, so I had to sell you on the woodchuck story.
Yeah,
but now
ahead,
you
no,
like
no,
it.
It's intriguing. It is an yes, I will give you this. It's
okay,
intriguing.
So here's the rest of it. You heard Susan Kim there talking about it. Bizarre tale. Wild animal with rabies running around out there. That's not good in a residential area. Now, we don't know, though, if this woodchuck was rabid. And that's one of the key pieces to this story. Woodchuck bit a guy in Racine. I think we did the story at the time. We told you about this weeks ago.
Breaking news, man bitten by woodchuck.
That didn't stick with you? I remember talking about woodchuck guy.
Okay.
Woodchuck bit this guy. His name is Craig Thomas. TMJ4 has pictures of his hand. It's all nasty looking. Like, it was a bad bite. You don't want to get bit by an animal. His wife, Sharon, is saying this has been a long ordeal and would continue to be a long ordeal because there are concerns that the woodchuck may have had rabies. And if people get rabies and you don't treat it, it kills you.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
Now my husband's got to go next month, being in the third month, to get tested for rabies. And he's got to do that every 3 months.
So this guy, he got bit. Now he's got to go test every 3 months for rabies. He's worried about it, whatever. Also, you know, Craig's wife there said, people won't stop asking us about it. Everywhere we go, they're like, yeah, there's a guy that got bit by the, like, it's almost like a joke to other people.
Man.
And they don't much care for that.
Sure.
Right? So this is hanging over their heads. Now, as we said, this woodchuck has bitten Craig. Craig actually captured the animal. And this is the scandal. After it bit him, he captured this woodchuck. I guess he kept it in a suitcase. Trapped it in there.
How did it bite him in the first place?
Well, that's a fair question.
Anyway.
Don't know.
Sorry, we'll get to that later.
So he's got this woodchuck. It's trapped in this suitcase, and he calls police. Now, you would think, and this, folks who have been bitten by other people's pets or things like that, or a stray dog or something like that, typically, I think what they do is they quarantine the animal.
Not typically, always.
Like always. Right, because then you can test for rabies instead of the guy.
Mm-hmm. You run the records, or if it's a feral animal like this.
Yes. Yeah. So instead of testing poor Craig here every 3 months for rabies and have him go through this whole ordeal, you got the woodchuck.
Yeah.
The proper authorities take that animal, and then the animal is tested for rabies. So they call police. Now, according to their story, police, because, you know, what do cops know, right? I don't know what to do with the thing. So they call the DNR.
Yeah, call the people that would know.
Law enforcement dispatcher rings up the DNR, according to their story, and DNR apparently told him to let the thing go. No, go ahead and release the woodchuck. So, according to their story, that's what the DNR told the dispatcher. That's what the dispatcher told whoever responded to the scene. So they let the thing out. That's that. Well, TMJ4 News investigated. They contacted the DNR, and the DNR told TMJ4 News, don't know anything about this. Don't know who. This doesn't ring a bell to us. It's not, I guess, what we would say or whatever. They basically denied that it was their instruction to release the woodchuck. Well, DMJ4's Talil Mahadin stayed on it, filed an open records request, and she got this dispatch recording, police talking with someone at the DNR that day.
They're asking me to see if you would like the groundhog or should they just release it?
They're probably best off just releasing it.
That's what I thought. But I'm like, I'll check with you first.
So
that's DNR guy, so far as we know.
So far as we know, that's dispatch talking with DNR. Now, they called it a groundhog. Groundhog and woodchuck, the same thing?
Right. They're interchangeable. I'm sure someone will say that's not the case.
You know, actually, right. This one has three teeth and that head, right. Whatever it was, small woodland creature. Okay, that's not the point of the story. Thing is that DNR first told TMJ4 News, we don't know anything about this. TMJ4 follows up and they're like, well, I don't know. This was apparently someone on the line here with dispatch. Family story checks out. Cop story checks out. Yours doesn't. DNR is still kind of giving TMJ4 the runaround on it. Here's their statement. Our local conservation warden team was made aware by the Racine-based law enforcement dispatch. However, we cannot address the division, party, or person the WTMJ newsroom contacted because we were not advised. I'm not even sure what that means. Like, well, we don't know who they talked to or whatever. Well, I don't find out.
Yeah, who'd the dispatcher call? Like, was that an intern? Was that like someone's son who answered their cell phone? Yeah, go ahead and release. I mean, who knows?
Yeah, somebody screwed up over there, and they don't want to own it. And it's fine if you made a mistake or somebody who wasn't properly informed said they contacted this person. The instruction should have been XYZ or defend it. But either way, don't deny that it happened.
And we would assume, Debbie asked, that the DNR person on the other end of this phone call knew that there was a bite, that the guy had been bitten by said woodchuck.
I would think even if there weren't, if you have a potentially sick animal that may be rabid.
How would you know
concerned about that? Well, there. I don't know how they thought that, other than obviously the thing bit this guy. But also, there are signs of rabies or an animal acting strangely. You know, there's traditionally it's the foaming at the mouth, right? Or the eyes get crazy, or perhaps they had some way of knowing.
So they're able to diagnose that.
I don't know. Like, wouldn't you go have a look?
Yes.
Old Craig here went to the trouble of putting the thing in a suitcase. Somebody go have a look.
I don't disagree with that.
So that turned out to be an interesting story, didn't it?
So what happens now? He's going to take tests now every 3 months?
Yeah, and I don't know how long that has to happen. I thought if you may have had rabies, they like give you all the shots and do all that stuff right away. Because again, it can be deadly if it's not treated. But either way, this continues to be an ordeal for this family. I feel bad for Craig Thomas, for his wife, and folks who are chuckling at it. You know, like it's a big deal for them. And they didn't get the service that they thought. And it could have been taken care of if people weren't trying to cover their tracks.
Right.
Or had done their due diligence and found out, all right, did we have somebody who gave bad advice? And how do we fix that? So that turned out to be an interesting story, didn't it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's 8:19 on Wisconsin's Morning News.
There is no tomorrow tonight for the crew.
When your day is long.
This one again.
Feels like Groundhog's Day.
I know. In so many ways, actually. Previous story notwithstanding.
Right.
Greg Pancake Hill produces the program. He's run the sprockets off the REM today. We actually got a text about it, Greg.
Please
stop playing the REM bumper. My daughter already thought I was losing my mind during the game last night. Now she heard me shaving to that blaring in the bathroom. She thinks I need counseling.
Can you imagine? My dad in the bathroom listening to this song.
Dad is not okay.
Mom,
you have to come home now. Dad is not okay.
Oh, God. That was gut-wrenching. That was a tough one.
Telling you, that one had some sting on it.
Sometimes everything is because...
All right, enough of the snipe.
Now you're just trolling. That's not kind.
Yeah, you're not helping us.
Right, it's because of how it happened. And it was because we were there. We had 25 outs. You need 27 to win the game.
Right.
And we had those two outs, and we had our closer, and we had all the stuff, and we had all the excitement.
Isn't that the good thing is that there's nothing to question? Like, doesn't that make you feel a little bit better? They beat the best. You had the guy, your closer, your guy, and they beat him. Isn't that more palatable than, oh, man, Murph did this, or they should have done this, sure, or this happened, or a fluky
some
play.
Some guy fell down around in the bases.
A bad call, or, you know.
Yes, a bad call or some sort of controversy that leaves it hanging over, like we should actually be advancing. Yeah. There's no question that we lost this game and why. Gut punch, though, for sure. But you know me, E. I'm an eternal optimist. Why is that funny?
Excuse me. Yes.
Of course. I am a positive thinker.
Super positive guy.
So I have assembled, characteristic to me, a list of good things. Some happy thoughts as a result of this Brewers loss.
Okay.
Would you like for me to share some of this?
Please.
New song. It might seem crazy what I'm about to say. Okay. So you no longer need to worry about flipping back and forth between the Packers and Brewers on Sunday. That was going to be a problem.
Oh,
Game 2 of the NLDS was going to be Sunday afternoon, a 3-something start. Packers play at 3:25, so you're going to have to do, like, am I going to get two TVs in here?
You're right. That would have been so stressful to figure out.
Do I try to record one game and then watch the other?
Well, so, like, what a pain that would have been for us.
Right. And Saturday afternoon is wide open now, because Badgers kickoff is 11 o'clock.
You're right. You're right.
You are good.
And they should sail through that game, too. So, okay. All right. Yeah. Thanks.
This one more personal, but maybe you have someone in your life who's like this. I think ultimately this is better for Joe Vetrano.
Yeah. I was worried about your dad.
Oof. You know, dad's a big Brewers fan, was a Braves fan as well. My personal talk and text line was getting pretty dark. It was like some pretty bad stuff.
I bet.
It's going to be okay.
Have you spoken with him since last night?
I have not spoken with him.
All right.
So
this will be better for his health.
I'm not sure a protracted run by the local 9 in the playoffs was really a benefit to his long-term health. Probably better for your finances.
How's that?
Postseason tickets are expensive. You're thinking, like, do we want to try to buy, you know, do we want the whole package? Do we want to do that? You got gear to buy, like championship gear.
Yeah, we saved money. Okay.
That one didn't hit for you?
No, that one doesn't work for me.
All right, here. This is more for you and me personally here in the Wisconsin's Morning News and Greg Pancake Hill.
Okay.
A lot more time in that 740 segment that goes right before Brewers 360.
Oh,
that's a hard one, right? We're always working up against the clock. Yeah, Greg Hill produces the program. He's like, you guys are late.
Super tight in there.
Right.
It's tough to get a quick 3-minute interview in with the manager.
Right. So, you know, Brewers 360 is done.
That doesn't make me happy.
That didn't do it for you either. All right. This one should do it for you. Devin Williams is the Brewers' closer. Had an amazing season after coming back from injury and uncharacteristically blew the save and the series with a few bad pitches. This is a guy who had a bad day at work. Here's good news. Devin Williams is not a heart surgeon. He is not a fighter pilot. Okay, he's not a first responder. Nobody dies. It's the sports. We're all going to be okay.
You're
and
right.
So will Devin.
You're right. Okay.
And finally,
that makes me feel a little bit better.
That did, right? And finally.
Okay.
The Brewers have assembled a core of young, amazing talent. Think of the pitching talent alone that we're going to get back. If Woody comes back good.
Tobias Myers, man. He's an ace. That guy is going to be an ace.
And that guy did that in the postseason. He can carry that into next season.
Still got Bobby Gass.
Got to come back from injury there. So, like, look at that.
Okay.
Look at your rotation if those guys come back healthy. And you got Jackson Churio. The future is bright for the team.
Okay.
And the Brewers' first spring training game at American Family Fields of Phoenix is February 22nd.
Our next broadcast will come to you from Arizona. That's what's going to happen. And we'll be back with you, and hopefully you'll be back with us. When you're sure you've had enough
of this life, hang on. Okay. Seriously. Found this story to be a bit alarming. Waukesha County badly needs plow drivers. County is looking for not a few, not 10, not even a dozen. They need 2 dozen plow operators.
Oof. That sounds like a lot.
Doesn't it? That seems like a big number.
There's been a shortage over the last several years,
right? Drivers of all kinds, right? Yeah. We need truckers. We need bus drivers. We need plow operators, obviously. But it's a lot. Now, Waukesha County, to their part, has said, like, we're going to plow the roads. A lot of these drivers are needed at the airport. Not that that's a small thing, but you know, they'll plow the roads. They're going to get it done, but they need people, and they want to bring them on now. From TMJ4 News, the county is currently in desperate need of snowplow drivers, and the push is on to hire them before the weather changes. Also, they've got a training program to coach people up. They say you don't even need experience to do this. They'll bring you in, and they'll train you.
Great.
They'll teach you how to operate the plow and drive the truck, and they have a training program that starts next week. So what are they doing to get the message out? I mean, normally this probably wouldn't be something that we would spend a segment on at Wisconsin's Morning News. Okay,
sure.
They need plow drivers. Good. So they produced this video, the county did. It's a recruiting video. I found it on social media, on the airport Twitter page. It spoofs the classic film Airplane.
Excuse me, sir, we have a little problem with the snowplow.
Snowplow? What is it?
It's a machine that clears snow, but that's not important right now.
Okay, wow. You get it.
Right. Fantastic.
It's dead on. They use all of the jokes from Airplane.
So they make the whole movie.
It's a several minutes long video.
Can you drive this plow and clear the runway? Surely you can't be serious. I am serious. Don't call me Shirley.
It's like they made it for you.
Right. Me? Like,
yes,
right.
Like you.
How can we get this guy to talk about our plow driver need? Here. That's funny.
That is funny.
You heard me cracking up today when I was looking
at
it.
Yes, like, I was like, what are you laughing
like,
at?
It's that plow video from Waukesha.
Oh, fantastic.
And it's just bad enough to be even funnier, right? Because they clearly have bought into the joke. They know exactly what they're doing. And then they've produced this video.
Please tell me Kareem is in it.
I should check. Could they get Giannis in it?
That'd be amazing.
Just any Bucks player would do. You want one more?
Yes, please.
What driving experience do you have?
I drove for the city of Waukesha, but that was years ago. That was only a single blade. This has a broom and two engines. It's an entirely different type of driving altogether.
It's an entirely different kind of driving.
Right? Well done. Wow. Well done.
There's more in there, and it's worth a watch. If you want help, Greg Pancake Hill has put it up. Easily digestible online link. Text the word plow, PLOW, to 855-616-1620. 855-616-1620. Text plow, and we'll get Pancake to send you the link to that video. And hey, if you're available, they need plow drivers in Waukesha.
Speaking of Pancake, got ourselves a breakfast coming up.
That is next on Wisconsin's Morning News. At 8:44 on this Friday morning. As I mentioned, we talk a lot about what's going to be in the show, what's not going to be in the show. We do it every morning at 9 o'clock. Some things ultimately find their way into the rundown for the week, and others, they don't. So we assign Greg Pancake Hill, producer of the program, to whip up a little something with the leftovers in a piece we call the Pancake Breakfast Special.
Breakfast?
We've already had it.
We've had one, yes. What about second breakfast?
Thank goodness there isn't a polar bear in this story. If you don't get that joke, you don't want to get that joke. That's all I'm going to say. Okay? If you don't get that joke, it's Brewers related, by the way. So, I guess I'm late to the game because I was workshopping this topic with our director of content, Mike Spaulding, and he has heard of this before. Are any of you familiar with Fat Bear Week?
Yep.
You are all familiar with Fat Bear Week.
You have me a polar bear.
Did you
knew exactly what
Thank you. Did you keep this secret from me? What the hell is Fat Bear Week? You don't know what Fat Bear Week is.
I don't know what Fat Bear Week is.
That is fantastic because
why
I am
just tell me?
Learning indeed. So I'm not talking, however, about the celebration of some fans to the team of the South of Us. So this is like a celebration of fatness and success in brown bears. It's a sort of competition of nature put on by the National Park System. Now, what happens, you may ask? The National Park System puts 12 bears in the Alaskan Peninsula. It's at Katmai National Park, on the Brooks River. They put these bears in there sometime in the summertime, right? They use trail cameras, web cameras, the system. They monitor these brown bears throughout the summer heading into winter, and they keep track of how they grow, and it gives them about 6 months to hunt and bulk up for the winter for hibernation.
We are here to farm.
You are.
Now, for the educational portion of the segment, during hibernation, bears gain upwards of 50% of their own body weight before hibernation. During hibernation, bears lower their heart rate as low as 8 beats per minute, and they may only take one breath every 45 seconds. That's per the NationalParkService.org. So, you can come away with this segment at all with those fun little bear facts.
Nice. Learned nice.
At, you've learned something.
More, you
so,
know.
Let's drag this down further. At the end of those 6 months, what they do is they take a picture of the final product before these bears head into hibernation, and hibernation starts. And this is what picture is. It goes up on their website, and people literally vote in a March Madness-type bracket-style tournament. Now, there's a little bit of controversy this year. It's not all fun and games. The field of play was missing one contestant. The contestant is a bear, by the way. And they were unfortunately mauled to death by another bear. Because that's what happens in the wild. And it also happens when you put 11 or so bears on the same side of the river together. Something bad is bound to happen.
Williams to the outside. Picked off!
Indeed. So now, thank you.
It's a different bear.
So now that I know, I'm like super into this, right? Fat Bear Week has it all. It's got matchups. Bear 909 Jr. is going up against Bear 128, a.k.a. Grazer, who was the 2023 reigning champ, who's looking for a championship repeat. Mm-hmm. Fan engagement, you can vote, as I mentioned last year, 1.3 million people voted in the competition last year. So joke's on me for not knowing that this thing actually exists. And, of course, there's a little bit of violence. And what makes every news story great, you guys? Well, a cheesy news organization covering the story. This is a story of last year's winner.
There is officially a winner of Fat Bear Week. This is a real thing.
Okay, I mean, did you catch that at the end there? What that other anchor did?
It's a real thing.
That sounded like some witty anchor banter there.
Like, is that to use your own sound effects? All right, that's fine, but don't worry, it gets better.
Here's the winner, Grazer. Though it kind of looks like Grazer is more of a feaster.
Okay.
So you get it?
So, welcome to Fat Bear Week, everybody. It's voting started in 2 days ago, runs through the end of the week, and I'm enthralled in this. So maybe I keep track of it. Maybe I see if Fat Bear Week, if Grazer comes out another championship. There's so many. Do they name the competition after the fallen bear that has lost their life? Can we do that? Memorial account?
Yes.
What's the fallen bear's name?
You know what stinks, though? I think you only get a name if you won, because every other bear is like bear number 721. Like,
oh, that's all science-y,
yes,
right.
Yeah, right. So they kind of keep track of it that way. But like, give them names. Let the people vote on names. So anyway, unbeknownst to me, and I hope now that you all know, it is Fat Bear Week, and I wish a happy Fat Bear Week to you all.
This is a real thing.
WTMJ, W277-CV, and WKTI HD2 Milwaukee. From the Annex Wealth Management Studios, this is News Radio WTMJ, a Good Karma brand station.
WTMJ forecast is sponsored by Dave Dre Camp Heating, where your comfort is their family's tradition. High of 67 degrees today under mostly sunny skies. Nice night ahead, low down to 56.
I'm telling you, that one had some sting on it.
Show did.
You know what we should mention? I know it's frustrating, and there's anger there. There's just devastation. There's disappointment and all of that when something like that happens, like it did. But don't think for a second that those directly involved with the product, meaning those that spend every day training, swinging a bat, covering the team, working the team, part of that organization, don't think for a second that they are not sharing in your devastation.
Well, I want to share a story with you quickly. Remember, Patrick won virtual baseball yesterday, yes, on this here program, yeah, and we sent him to the game. Patrick's on the line with us this morning. Morning, Patrick.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Well, not great, but
we're getting through it. We'll be
right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wanted to know your story about what you saw right there as Jackson Churio, our young guy, was on deck. Maybe would have had a chance to at least tie the game and keep this thing going.
For sure, yeah. Thanks. First off, thanks for WTMJ. It was a great experience. I was jacked up all day. Made my day, and it was a different feeling, right? Different than years past. We had Pat Murphy, and it was a great season. But I sneak up closer at the end of the game. I have a buddy in the front row, and I'm next to the on-deck circle. And Jackson Churio is focused, and obviously double play ends the game, and you could see him just the disappointment that he didn't get to go up to bat. And he stared into the crowd, into the upper deck, into the second level for a good minute straight, just absorbing it and looking at the crowd. And then the Mets were celebrating on our field, and, you know, Jesse Winker was kind of acting like a jackass, and eventually Chiria just takes his bat and just pounds it into the ground into 100 pieces. And it was just out of frustration that he just wanted to win. And to have a 20-year-old that had that kind of, you know, vibe to him, it's different, and we have a lot to build on here. And, you know, I think we have a bright future, and we got Pat Murphy. So it feels a lot different than the Craig Council days. We actually have a manager that has a post-game interview that says what it is. We got beat by a team that had three all-star players on first, second, and third at bat, and Lindor just beat Williams, man. He fouled off a lot of good pitches, and he got paid for what he gets paid for, and we got beat, and we had a great season. None of us expected this, I don't think, going into the year. So
appreciate you sharing the appreciate you sharing the story, Patrick. Glad it was. I mean, it was mostly a good game.
Right, right. Speaking of that, obviously, Uke was on the call last night. My guess is we think he was probably just waiting for the clinching game. That's why he was waiting to the game that would have been the winning game. Here's what he had to say at the end.
Our next broadcast will come to you from Arizona. That's what's going to happen. And we'll be back with you. And hopefully you'll be back with us.
Uke was in the clubhouse at the end there. He was one of the last ones there, Greg Matzik says. And some of the players devastated after talking to him. Yelich especially just devastated after having a conversation with Uke. Wanted to play this to wrap it up. This is Jeff Levering, our guy. Love this
friend
guy.
Friend of the program.
Absolutely love this guy. And struggled a bit to say goodbye last night. And just it's more perspective than anything. Just don't forget how much it matters to these folks as well.
Well, your final score tonight was 4-2. Nothing going on in the Brewers minor league system. Nothing going on until spring training next year. Man, all-star closer on the mound, and Pete Alonso, who had one career postseason home run, ends up picking up his second, a three-run shot. And the Mets added one more to make it a final score of 4-2 and send the Brewers home for the 2024 season. What a whirlwind it was. A lot of highs, not too many lows. 93 wins, and you come up just a couple of outs short. How exciting it always is, every single year, with all of the hope. And then, at the end of the day, only one team gets to celebrate at the end of the year with the championship. And this year will not be the Milwaukee Brewers. Tough year. Tough way to finish this one. But congratulations to the Mets. And they'll take on the Philadelphia Phillies in the division series in Philadelphia starting on Saturday. So we'll say goodbye, and we will chat with you again in the spring, where we will try and do it all over again in 2025. Just never know what's going to happen, folks. That's why we're all fans. And we all care. Because this game is the best. Well, we'll get through it somehow. We'll have the off season. And there will be baseball again in the spring in Arizona. Special thanks to everybody involved in this one. Everybody at our flagship station at WTMJ in Milwaukee and all along the Brewers Radio Network. For Josh Maurer, Lane Grindle, our producer and engineer Kent Sommerfeld, of course, the legendary Bob Uecker. This is Jeff Levering saying goodbye for the final time in 2024. We'll chat with you again next spring. This has been a presentation of the Brewers Radio Network.